Our Father and our God, lead us tonight in our study and in our prayer time. Help us, Lord, to be able to remember these folks from day to day and to be conscientious in bringing them to the throne of grace. We look to you in faith, dear Lord, knowing that you are willing and able to do all that we might ask in Jesus' name and according to your will. And armed with that confidence, dear Heavenly Father, we do not shy away from bringing anything to the throne room tonight. Bless our efforts in that. And we pray, dear Lord, that others on the receiving end of the prayers might be especially grateful to you, dear Lord, for all that you choose to do in their lives and in whatever way you wish to affect their lives. May they see your hand in it. For Jesus' sake, we ask it, amen. If you would open your Bibles to two places in Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 19 and Psalm 31, I'd like to just take some time this evening before we go to prayer and talk about life when things get out of hand. Life when things get out of hand. Hello, Lenny. 1 Samuel 19 and Psalm 31. You know, when we think about that out of hand thing, whether it refers to people or things, major or minor events or circumstances, it hints. The little phrase does, it hints of that which is out of control. And when anything gets out of hand, when things get out of hand, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And as I mentioned to the folks earlier, you might think of cost of government. We probably would agree that it's out of hand. And anything is likely to happen. Also, you can think through, some of you have been school teachers, you know what happens when you turn your back to a classroom full of kids or you step out of the room from time to time, depending on how well they've been trained and other little things related to that. Things can get out of hand. And when that happens, anything can happen. But there's a literal illustration in 1 Samuel 19 of this very concept that we speak about tonight. King Saul is not too happy with David. And we look at verse number 8. There was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. David played with his hand, and verse 10 says, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. I look at verse number 10 and we can see literally something got out of hand. It was in his case the javelin, but more to the point, had he been on target or had David been a bit slower, there would have been a brand new wall decoration there in the king's palace. So when things get out of hand, anything can happen, and generally it's not a good thing. Then we come back to Psalm 31. Interesting in its context, which we won't look into for tonight, but look at the 15th verse. Here's a recurring lesson on the providence of God in your life and in mine. We tend to order our day every day by the clock. You're used to getting up at a certain time, doing things at a certain time, and you will continue doing that until a certain time. And then at a certain time, you fold your feet up into the bed and you try to go to sleep. And even that is regulated by the clock. If it's not literally the alarm clock, it's your internal body clock. So time, when we talk about the way we calculate it, And the way God calculates it, two different things. You and I, as we process through our day, cannot account for any contingencies. At least the contingencies that go beyond the immediate consequences of a choice or an action, or maybe two or three steps down the road. But God accounts for every contingency in your life and mine. It says there, "My times are in thy hand." My times, every bit of my time, every day I live, every day before I lived, my times are in God's hand. Now, in the context, David is talking about a lot of trouble that he had experienced. Persecution, had been delivered. He was thankful that God had kept him out of the hand of the enemies. And when you read Psalm 31 in its entirety, you find that that a person's life is not all pleasing. We would love to have, at least from the moment that we were saved until we see Jesus, everything go nice and smooth, with no mountaintops to climb and no valleys to climb out of. We would like to have it nice and level, nice and smooth. But the truth of the matter is, as you've experienced, your life is like a roller coaster, up and down, and sometimes it's filled with adversity, sometimes not. But know this, that no matter what today you may be facing, what time that God has you in His providential care, His time, your time's in His hands. And therefore, nothing can appear as an obstacle before you but what God doesn't permit. And not only does He permit it, sometimes He outright plans for it, as we shall see. But the remedy is this. You'll find about four or five times in Psalm 31 where David says, and here's the antidote to this phenomenon of life when things get out of hand. He said, "I trust in the Lord." And the definition of that trust we would unveil there at verse number 5, where he says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Now that is a roundabout way of defining what trust is. It is having the confidence enough in God to commit willingly my life into His hands. Now, in a clarification needs to be said. Our times are in God's hands. That's true. But whenever we leap out of the hand of His providence, anything can happen. And we're accountable for that. That can't be blamed on God. When we arbitrarily, knowingly or not, leap out of the hand of God's providence, that's on us. Now, I'd like to have you think with me about this truth in action and some pertinent lessons that flow out of it. In the book of Acts, if you'll come to chapter 23, I'd appreciate it. Acts 23. Acts chapter 23. The Apostle Paul is the subject under scrutiny. First 11 verses, he is being challenged and accused and called upon to give an account to leadership. But verse 11 we read, "The night following the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Now, there's going to have to be some time that elapses. My times are in His hand. And so here we just pick up the narrative. Now, you can go way back further, to at least far back as Acts chapter 8 or chapter 9 with Saul of Tarsus, then Paul the Apostle, and to see and to mark the way how the providence of God was in play every day of this man's life. I want to show you with just a little bit of unusual detail how this plays out in the chapters between 23 and 27 when he gets on that ship. If you'll notice, please, what we have here. In verses 12 and 13 in this chapter, and when it was day, and all I want you to take note of is the time lapse in each place that I point out. When it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And so you have this lethal conspiracy identified in verse 13, more than 40 which had made the conspiracy. Now keep in mind what the Lord tells Paul, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Yes, can we say, they've got a hit out on you, Paul. But what did I say to you? You must appear before Caesar in Rome. Okay, now, as put yourself in his place and process through the same crisis. And there's 40 men out to get you. They have evil intentions. You're facing that in a moment of time. And yet you know that God has told you that you would appear in Rome. So, you could take a couple of attitudes about this. You could say, well, inasmuch as God has said, I'm going to be going to Rome, I don't need to worry about these guys, and you don't have to take any precautions. You don't have to worry about how it's all going to work out, how you're actually going to get to Rome beyond the conspiracy of these 40. But please notice that there's a providential eavesdropper in verse 16. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Now that's ordered by God. How did it happen that the boy would be there just to hear this conversation? Well, it wasn't by accident. We don't believe in that. But we remember that my times, like Paul's times, are in God's hand. And so there's a providential eavesdropper here that spills the beans, and the plot is unfolded, and every precaution that's needed is taken. Why? Because God has said, you're going to go to Rome, Paul. All expense paid vacation to Rome. The ink is dry on that commitment. Then please look, same chapter, verse number 32. First three words. On the morrow. Keep in mind the time span now. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle. Okay? And then in verse number 35, I will hear thee, said he, when is a time element, when thine accusers are come. So the next verse, after how many days? After 5 days. And so here we are. Paul is restricted. He's got to wait for the people who made accusation against him to come to him. And so he's sitting there wringing his hands for 5 days. My times are in thy hands. All 5 days. And I have to confess to you, when I was reading through this portion of Scripture preparing for the study, you know what I kept doing? I kept imagining myself in front of an elevator. I thought, well, there would be a little reference here, a little reference there, a little reference here about the time element. But every time I turned the page, went down through the chapter, I found another one. And so I'm continuing to write. And in my heart, I'm going, hitting that up button on the elevator. I didn't really plan to commit this time element to the study for this purpose tonight. But every time I look down a verse, here's another one. And yet I had to remind myself while I'm preparing for this that my times are in his hands. Every minute of them. Every minute of it. So for type A personalities, we do well to remember that in the providential care of God, you'll eventually get to where God wants you to be when he wants you to get there. And in the shape he wants you to get there. So you have more here. You have in chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, they began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, that very worthy deeds are done unto this day. There's a little bit of schmoozing going on there by the accusers. And then you have in verse number 24, another reference to a time element. after certain days. This is all going on, and after certain days, don't know how many, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that all along the way to Rome, the Apostle Paul has opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to give testimony for the faith. My times are in his hands. We would normally think that our opportunities to witness or bear witness to the faith of Jesus Christ would be more advantageous and in better climate rather than in a hostile environment. And yet every time somebody appears before him, Paul's only too eager to share his faith. So you have, after certain days, and in verse number 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee. More time to spend. A convenient season. So you come to verse 27. Look at the time element there. After 2 years, Festus comes to Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. 2 years more? Festus was come to the province after, what, in 25 verse 1? 3 days. More time. Don't you just love it? 3 days. You have down through the 25th chapter, go to verse 6. And when he had tarried among them, that's a dirty word, tarried. There's nothing worse than tarrying when you're in a hurry. When he had tarried among them more than 10 days. Are you getting the gist of this? That sometimes God puts us on a trail that takes a little time. And we can be confident that every minute of the day is accounted for by Him. Every person we meet is planned by Him. Every word that we have opportunity to speak, planned by Him. Verse 6. More than 10 days, and the next day, verse 10, even then the next day, you have sitting at the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought, and when he was come, the Jews came down from Jerusalem, stood around about, laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Not only do you have to wait, but when you finally get your chance, you have to endure this kind of treatment. And you might be tempted to think, well, I could sure spend my time better than this. Sure, this has been a waste of time. No, if my times are in God's hands, He doesn't make any mistakes. He does not make any mistakes. Then you look at verses 11 and 12. In the course of this little dialogue, if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Now mark that down. That's very hallmark. Verse 12, Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou wilt go. Now, it's great. It's really great that this pagan ruler agrees with God, because God told him, that's where you're going. Paul makes this known that he appeals to Caesar. Festus is only too glad to accommodate him. So you're going to go to Caesar. Then we read in verse 13, after what? Certain days, more time. King Agrippa and Bernice come to Caesarea, or Bernice, as you might say in some circles, unto Caesarea to salute Festus. In verse 14, when they had been there, what? Many days. More time. More time. You know, time, you know, depending on who you are, what you do for a living, time is money. You know, time is money. Time is a valuable commodity. And here we see incident after incident where the Apostle Paul, while he's en route to Rome, He endures what he's enduring for days on end. Days on end. And yet opportunities abound even in that. And then come to verse 23. Paul comes before Agrippa. What's it say? On the morrow, Agrippa. And here you have, you know, you look at verse number 23. You have a lot of bureaucratic buck passing here. Does that not try a person's patience? Nothing doesn't. Isn't it not a profound waste of time when the bureaucrat passes the buck? You know, the challenge of that's figuring out who has the buck in hand. It changes hands so fast that you can't keep up with it. They're like magicians. Who has the buck now? Then in verse number 26, chapter 26, verse 4, testimony before Agrippa, he says, my manner of life from what? From my youth. From my youth. Which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. My life from my youth is in the hand of God. Do you believe as you look back to your youthful days, if you can remember that far back, that your hand, that your life was in God's hand even then to bring you to where you are now? That's amazing to me. And then you come to verse 32, chapter 26. Verse 32. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, after he's heard all of the testimony, and Paul reiterates his personal testimony, how it was that he met the Lord of glory. So at the end of verse 32, then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not done what? Appealed unto Caesar. Isn't hindsight 20/20? Paul's probably thinking back to himself, you know, if I just kept my mouth shut, I'd have been free of this all now, to come and go on my own time. But you know, God said to him, you're going to go to Rome. You're going to Rome. My times, like Paul's, are in God's hand. And often do we sail, if you come into chapter 27, we have to, in the process of time, we have to sail a long life's journey with dumb sailors. And even that, appointed by God. Chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 7. Against the advice of the apostle, they set sail. Verse 7 says, and when we had sailed, how? Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? If you got to be on a boat, you really want to go slow. Do you really? When we sailed slowly, oh, I'd be on a boat. I'd be banging my head against the wall every day. We had port yet, you know. How many more days we got? Sail slowly. And verse 9 says, now what? When much time was spent. So here you are. You're on your way to Rome, and you're on a vessel that shouldn't be sailing at this time of the year. It's winter. Shouldn't be sailing where it was sailing this time of the year. And take some lessons out of that. Sometimes, when we look at verse 14, for example, chapter 27, verse 14, they're out there on the high seas, and we have a time element there. What's it say? But what? You see how some things are quick? You can be sure that the things that you want to go fast are going to go slow, and with things that you want to get over quick, just a reverse. Not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind. They're going to be in a cyclone, hurricane. And sometimes the storms of God's providence appear sooner than the sunshine of His purpose. And that's a perfect illustration in Acts 27. Let me say it again. Sometimes the storms of God's providential care appear, manifest themselves sooner than the sunshine of His purpose in it. And it is there that we might be tempted to be banging that button. And yet we must remember that my times are in God's hand. Every minute of it. And then verse 18. Time element. The storm has started and being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. What? The next day they lightened the ship. And then verse 19. The third day we cast out our own hands at the tackling of the ship. This isn't going away anytime soon. As a matter of fact, it is said that this thing, they're going to be involved in it for 14 days. What a cruise. What a cruise. And yet we come to verse number 22. In the midst of all this, where's God in this? Where's the one in whose hand my time is? Verse 22. Now I exhort you, he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And I don't want to say or speak for Paul, but if I'm sitting in Paul's chair, sitting beside him, and I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me, God. Be of good cheer in this. If we'd only sailed at the right time, if we'd have just taken a little more time, wait till winter gets over and then sits, we wouldn't be in this mess now. Be of good cheer. Good news, there shall be no loss of any man's life. Just the ship. Just the ship. Whoa. So what are you thinking when you're out in the middle of the water and nobody's going to die in this, but the ship's going down? Where does that put you at? Into the drink you go. Didn't count on going swimming, huh? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. My times are in God's hands. And please note, that truth profoundly affects the person next to me, who may not even know God. I mean, Paul could have. Listen, were there not some of the shipmates who decided they were going to try to foist a fraud on the people and bail out with a lifeboat? And when they were found out, they cut the lifeboat off. You know, Paul could have thought to himself after a certain time, and this has gone on long enough, and these are some pretty raunchy sailors. I think I'm going to take my first opportunity and jump in the lifeboat and get out of here. Well, how would that have affected everybody else on board the vessel? They would have gone down with the ship. They would have gone down with the ship. One of the contingencies that God provided for was that everybody's got to remain on board until impact. And then into the drink, every man swim for himself. Promise is, nobody's going to drown. Do you suppose they were all Olympic grade swimmers? I don't think so either. So you have all of this happening in verse 25, then 26 they go, we must be cast on a certain island, 14th night came and so forth and so on. Let me fast forward to the end of this thing. Come down to verse 33. And while the day was coming on, there's nothing like the first ray of the sunlight after a long, hard night filled with stress. You all know that feeling. The day was coming on. In verse number 44, we have the news at the end of the line, the declaration that they all escaped safe to land. My times are in His hands. You look at chapter 28 and verse 16. Finally, after all these years, all these days, where is He at? At Rome, just like God said He would be. Now, the way He got there, from the time that He was notified He was going to Rome, in between time, there was a lot of drama. but my times are in His hands. Even the dramatic parts, even the afflictions, even the persecutions, my times are in His hands. And as a matter of fact, you come in and you look, please, He gets to Rome. He's at Rome now. Look at the time element. Verse 30. Look at this. He hasn't seen Caesar yet. Do you suppose he really wanted to see Caesar? Do you suppose he ever did see Caesar? No. Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came into him. And what was he doing for 2 years in Rome? Preaching the kingdom of God. That was ultimately God's purpose for getting him to Rome. And every stop in between, God's purpose unfolded in the most unlikely, unsavory circumstances of a human being's life. God's purpose was fulfilled. Now, a couple of take-home things to think about. In light of this fact that my times are in His hand, not only that, but remember what the Lord Jesus taught in John chapter 10, at verse about 28 to 30, when he said concerning the redeemed, all of His sheep are in the hand of God, from which no man can pluck them out of. And so what will you do in the course of your time, realizing Psalm 31:15 to be true and John chapter 10 to be true, and yet the storm rages and your heart rate increases and fear takes grip? The psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Why? Well, I'm in His providential care. My times are in His hand. So when things seem to be getting out of hand, be careful that you don't play the fool and preempt God's providential dealings with you and put yourself in a situation where life, as it would turn out, is on you. And God is not to be blamed for that. Sometimes He will let people go their own way in spite of what He wants for them to do, to realize the consequences of it. Dear Father in heaven, please help us to rest content in Your care.